Fine. So we focused a little. First, we finished focusing on the beginning of the parsha, and we did a midrash on Yaakov and Esav. Then we did the middle of the parsha. We did Dina. So I guess let's go to the end of the parsha. Okay. So the end of the parsha is quite sad. Right, what happens? Rachel dies in childbirth, and then she's buried, right, in Ephrat, right, Ephrat Beit Lechem, right, meaning Vativer b'derech Ephrata hi Beit Lechem, on the way to Ephrat, which is Beit Lechem, which if you've been to my house, you know exactly what we're talking about, right, on the way to Ephrat, passing through Beit Lechem, right, that's what we're talking about. Now, the Midrashim make a huge deal of this, but they're not because they're not grounded in Pshat. They're grounded in Pshat. They're just not grounded in Pshat in Vayishlach. They're grounded in Pshat in what Sefer of Tanakh? Right? The Midrashim make a big deal of this scene that she's buried with Derech Ephrat, right? The Midrashim, so that when the Jews go into Galut, she will be... No, it's when they go into Galut. No, yes, you're right. Yeah, not Kalev. That he goes to Marat Machpel, but no, it's Yirmiyahu, right? Yirmiyahu is the Navi who brings this idea that this scene is super important to, right, to Pshat. I mean, Pshat, at least of Yirmiyahu, right? Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, is Ko Amar Adonai, Ko Berama Nishma, Nehi Bechi Tamarim, Rachel Mivaka Al Baneha, Me'anali Nachem Al Banena Ki Einenu, right? Yes, a million songs about this pasuk, right? Rachel's voice is crawling out and she's crying, and what does God say? Ko Amar Adonai, Mani Kolech Mibechi, Ve'inayich Midima, Ki Yishachar Lefulatech Nehum Adonai, V'shavu Me'eretz Oyev. Because so did God say, right, stop crying, stop your voice from crying, your eyes from tearing, because there is reward to your actions, and they will return from the land of the enemy, right? Famous Midrashim, you heard as kids, right? That yes, Yirmiyahu goes to Avram and says, the Jews are going to Galut, stop them, right? Right, stop God. Avram tries, God says, right? Yitzchak tries, Yaakov tries. Right. Yeah, he each goes through different things. Avram comes in and he says, I did this, and Yitzchak says this, right? The Akedah, etc. And finally, right? God says, nah, I don't care about any of you. Right? Rachel comes and said, hey, right? Hey, listen. Yaakov worked for 7 years for me, and then to not embarrass my sister, I gave up marrying the love of my life. So what? So the Jews worshiped Avodah Zarah and they betrayed you. Get over yourself. I got over myself. You can get over yourself. And God says, Taka, that's a good point. Right? Yeshachar levulotech. Right? And that's why, right, so the Midrashim, right, they're building on Pshat, right? They're building on the fact that Yirmiyahu makes this huge deal of Rachel. Now, why, what I want to focus on briefly is why do Chazal make such a big deal of this? Besides the fact that it's in Yirmiyahu. It's because it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Why does it make no sense? So, first of all, it makes no sense. Why? Come on.
For argument?
What?
For argument?
Nope. Makes. Oh, yeah. Why does it not make sense that we mention her? Yes, and not the ones going into Galut. Very good, right? This is, Yirmiyahu is talking about Galut Yehuda. Which, yes, Binyamin is part of that also. But come on, it's called Galut Yehuda, right? The other one, what were the two Malchiot? Yehuda and Yisrael. What is the nickname for the other Malchut, which is in fact quoted in this perek? Ephraim, very good, because the same Barak is Haven Yaker Li Ephraim. Rachel is legitimately the mother of Malchut Yisrael, whose first king is from Ephraim, Yeravam ben Nevat, right? She is not, obviously, the mother of... No, I understand. Binyamin's there also, but it's very striking to pick Rachel as the mother of this galut. Very good. That's not this. David takes it away from him, right? Meaning, if anything, there's a lot of tension between Benot Rachel and Benot Leah over the Malchiot. And yes, Binyamin is also part of Malchut Yehuda, but it's still called Malchut Yehuda, right? So making Rachel the mother of Galut, the mother of exile, is really quite surprising, right? And by the way, this image becomes super famous, right? There was a few academic articles written about the fact that the inspiration for the Statue of Liberty is Rachel, as the mother of exiles, right? So it's actually very surprising that she becomes the mother of exiles. Another thing that's very surprising, I hadn't really thought about this until this week, but I was listening to a shiur by my good friend, Rabbi Noach Goldstein, right? And he pointed out that we also, when we think of Tanakh and we think of who is the person who struggled the most to be a mother, who do we think of immediately? Rachel. Why do we think, right? We jump to the pasuk that Chazal pick up on is, no, think about what Chazal say. Chazal said their proof text that someone who doesn't have children is dead is Rachel, because Rachel says, Hava libanim, give me children, if not, meita anochi, I'm dead, right? Like she is this, and yet, Chazal's paradigm, the only person in Tanakh who actually says, if you don't give me children, I am dead, right? Who wraps up her entire identity with being a mother is Rachel, okay? What's the problem? That's actually super surprising. Why is it surprising? Because comparatively to the other imahot who struggled with having kids, Rachel didn't struggle that much at all. Sarah had her child at 90, right? So she waited many, many decades to have a children. Rivka waited a long time to have a child. How long? I don't know, but a long time, right? How long did Rachel wait to have children? How many years? How many is it? Maximum. Six. Think about it. Yaakov is only at Laban's house for 20 years. The first 7 years, he's not married to either of them, right? Yeah, but he marries her after 1 week. Right? He marries her after 1 week, correct? Right? And then after the next 7 years, what does he say after Yosef is born? Now I want to go and I want to work for my own house, right? And Laban says, no, stay, I'll give you a salary. Right, so we know that Yosef exists at the end of 7 years, right? And so he's there for a total of 20 years. The first 7, he's not married. Then he marries Rachel. And 7 years later, we know that Yosef is born, which means that she was pregnant a year before, like 9 months before that. So 6 and change, right? Now, I'm not saying that 6 years of being barren is easy, right? But compared to Sarah, who needs a miracle, I mean, Rachel, this is not a miracle, right? It's not a miracle she had children, right? I mean, how old was she, Sacha called, right? She was young when she got married. Okay, it's hard to be barren for 6 years. I'm not minimizing the pain, right? But like in Chazal's world, at what point do you determine a woman is barren and you have to divorce her? 10 years, right? I understand is that she's barren and that Leah isn't barren. I understand. It's a very hard situation. But my point is simply that Rachel is the person in Tanakh that is the only person who says, I am dead without children, who wraps up her entire identity in being a mother, right? Not the people who struggle for decades on end, but Rachel struggled for 6 years, which is a long time, but it's not the miracle of Sarah that it's 90 years old, right? And then, Yirmiyahu makes her the mother of all exiles, even though she's not. I mean, she's mother. Yes, you'll justify it. Well, Binyamin's also with Yehuda in Achinami, but like, she's not. Now, some of the Mefarshim, right, really struggle with this and say, yeah, maybe Rachel's really talking. That's why we're bringing up Ephraim, right? Because her focus isn't on Yehuda. It's really on Malchut Yisrael. Some of the Mefarshim are so bothered by this that they go in that direction, or they go in the direction of Binyamin. But the simple pshat of Yirmiyahu is that, despite the fact that she's literally not the mother of the defining Shevet of Yehuda, still, metaphorically or whatever, metaphysically, she is. Right? And that, I think, right, the combination of those two factors, I think, are just worth noting, right? Because they make it all the more powerful. Because the point is, what is the point, right? The point is that I think those two issues really answer each other, right? Which is, why does Rachel become the symbolic mother of exiles? Because at some level, she is the person in Tanakh who literally defines her essence as a mother, right? Meaning at some level, those may answer each other. Is the point is that the reason Rachel becomes the mother of exiles is because she is literally the person who says, my entire identity is motherhood.
The reason she says that is because she needs to be the mother of exiles?
No, the reason it makes sense for her to be the mother of exiles is because she is the person who is who most identifies herself.
Yeah, why does she with,
so that's not right. I don't have an answer to the question of why she wraps up her identity in motherhood and struggles with barrenness for 6 years in a way emotionally that no one else in Tanakh is described as struggling, even though their struggles were objectively greater, right? But I think part of what gives the power to Yirmiyahu's message that she is the mother, she's the one that's going to be crying, right, is that for whatever reason, we discover in Bereshit that, yes, she takes even temporary barrenness more to heart and more as an affront to her identity than any of the other imahot, or at least that's how it's described. And I think at some level, right, these answer each other, right? That the reason Rachel becomes this personality, right, is because that is the identity she gives herself, right? Now, it could be that the Midrash is giving, right, I'll just end with this, that it could be that the Midrash is more powerful when you think about it from this perspective. Because now what is the Midrash really saying? It's not, when she turns to God, she's not just saying, oh, I gave up my husband, right? She's saying, I am the person in Tanakh who most is identified with motherhood being who I am. And I gave up that possibility. I was willing to give up that possibility for my sister. I was literally willing to give up my very identity, right? As the wife of Yaakov, the mother of his children. Like, that is who I am.
If she was in the real, it wouldn't have been.
So she's never described as a prophetess. So the question of who's a prophetess, she's never described as a prophetess, nor does God ever talk to her explicitly in Chumash, right? And therefore, there's no reason to believe that she knew what was going to happen, right? But right? Correct. And prophet, you don't necessarily know everything. But again, I think at some level that's what the Midrash is getting at. She is her, the power of her claim is that I was the only one willing to just not just give up something which is dear to me, but literally give up who I am, right, to take care of somebody else, right? And I think the Midrash is picking up on that power of the deep ironies in Rachel, who, right, she defines herself and her barrenness as a bigger struggle than anyone else, even though she struggled for less time, right? And therefore she becomes the mother of exiles, even though she's not really their mother. Right, I think those ironies, right, are related, and definitely the Midrashic mind are related. Now, I am sure that I'm not giving every angle of it, but my point is that if you want to understand Tanakh, sometimes you need to try to struggle with, right, images that Tanakh take as given, and right, the pshat of Yirmiyahu is this is who Rachel is, but when you read our story, it's very hard to figure out why until you notice, right, some of the other complexities in the story that are ironic. Yeah, I think so. That's also possible. That's possible, but then that wouldn't answer why Rachel, not Leah. Right? It would only begin to answer it, right? Meaning, yes, the fact that Rachel or Leah should be the mother of Jewish people because Yaakov is Yisrael, right, makes a lot of sense. Right? No, in economy, in that sense, it could be true. And definitely certain Midrashim who talk about the fact that the struggle of Rachel and Leah is not just having children, but having the Shvatim. Right, obviously are going in the direction of saying part of answering the question is recognizing that Yaakov isn't just one of the Avot. He is Yisrael, and therefore, right, the mother of his children is not just the mother of his children, it's the mother of Bnei Yisrael. Yes, in that sense, that I think is definitely in the background. Okay, those are just some thoughts on what is going on here in Rachel and Yirmiyahu.